Hi, I'm Mary Glennie. And I'm Arlene Englehart. And you are listening to WMNF Tampa from a woman's point of view. I want to say a big thank you to Patty Perkey for editing and to Stephen Jay for providing access to recording.
Yeah, and we're still recording from our homes. And, you know, that we just got done honoring the fallen with 9/11 and the tragedy of that time. But I'm also thinking of the tragedy that every two or three days we're losing Americans, about the same number of Americans from COVID-19 that we lost in 9/11. And why? Why the denial? Why do some people in this country think that it's a hoax? What do they think these people are dying of? I mean, hysteria? I mean, women kind of are familiar with that. I think that unfortunately women have the market on hysteria because they've been accused of that from the get-go. Why do you think the word hysterectomy is in the anatomical literature? And with that in mind, though, I think it has to do with a kind of a misshapen sense of leadership. But we're not going to deal with that capital L leadership today on the show. That'll have to be a whole show in itself. But what I really do want to look at is the kind of leadership with a small L, if you will, taking on the experience that women have had throughout their lives and being denied autonomy of their body, denied equal pay, denied equal working conditions, denied all kinds of opportunities, having to have all these four women who have paved the way. Almost any discipline you want to look at, there have been some women that have paved the way, that have had to pave the way because those doors were closed. And so it's required skills and it's required abilities that are so necessary right now. And right now, women, you need to use those leadership skills, the kind of observation, the kind of thinking that you have done to try and make things better. And so with that in mind, I'm particularly thinking of COVID-19. And I'm thinking of the extraordinary comment by Christian Urquiza in the Democratic National Convention talking about the death of her father. But I'm also thinking about Kim Porteous, who is now the president of the Florida chapter of NOW, and what she's doing. And the conditions that COVID is putting on her leadership and how they're dealing with it. I think there's a lot that we can learn about that kind of leadership with a small L, if you will. So let's listen first to Christian and then to Kim Porteous.
Hi, I'm Kristen Urquiza. I'm one of the many who has lost a loved one to COVID. My dad, Mark Anthony Urquiza, should be here today, but he isn't. He had faith in Donald Trump. He voted for him, listened to him, believed him and his mouthpieces when they said that coronavirus was under control and going to disappear, that it was okay to end social distancing rules before it was safe, and that if you had no underlying health conditions, you'd probably be fine. So in late May, after the stay-at-home order was lifted in Arizona, my dad went to a karaoke bar with his friends. A few weeks later, he was put on a ventilator, and after 5 agonizing days, he died alone in the ICU with a nurse holding his hand. My dad was a healthy 65-year-old. His only pre-existing condition was trusting Donald Trump, and for that, he paid with his life. I am not alone. Once I told my story, a lot of people reached out to me to share theirs. They asked me to help them keep their communities safe, especially communities of color, which have been disproportionately affected. They asked me, a normal person, to help because Donald Trump won't. The coronavirus has made it clear that there are two Americas, the America that Donald Trump lives in and the America that my father died in. Enough is enough. Donald Trump may not have caused the coronavirus, but his dishonesty and his irresponsible actions made it so much worse. We need a leader who has a national, coordinated, data-driven response to stop this pandemic from claiming more lives and to safely reopen the country. We need a leader who will step in on day one and do his job, to care. One of the last things that my father said to me was that he felt betrayed by the likes of Donald Trump. And so when I cast my vote for Joe Biden, I will do it for my dad.
Well, I am so happy to welcome to the show a woman we've had before, and I love her passion and commitment, Kim Porteous. And she is the executive director, or president, excuse me, of the Florida chapter of NOW, the National Organization for Women. And she's been on the show many times. So, Kim Porteous, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. What a 2020 it has been.
Oh, you know, I was thinking about you and so many others, Kim. With the Bob Woodward book, I know you're following what it's about in rage. And tell me, because you lost your father and what, your favorite uncle, like within 45 minutes of each other to COVID. And when you heard him saying, well, he deliberately, you know, kept it down. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to panic people. How did you feel when you heard that?
Well, my uncle, in fact, his name was Robert. He was known as Bob Woodward, in fact. So the fact that the names are the same is just one of the things that just I cannot ignore. In a world that is being gaslighted in such a way, especially about a pandemic and death, it was refreshing to hear the truth revealed, and I immediately went online and pre-ordered the book as well as in CD, because the truth needs to be told, and what he revealed in that was more powerful than any of the media that we've seen. So I'm grateful and disgusted, and yes, I've lost someone to it, two people, and other people still have it, and we've all been deeply impacted. Especially the disability community. I have friends who are at home, people like my mother having to learn how to become a widow in this time without even getting a chance to grieve. And we know people with disabilities have had setbacks as well as onsets of memory issues for elderly populations. And, you know, we have to get this man out of office.
And, you know, because your family sounds like they're really quite an extraordinary group. I don't know if they were supporters of Trump or not, but didn't they have a weekly kind of social gathering of friends from the church, et cetera, and they would have a big dinner and they would, you know, just socialize, et cetera. And were they supporters of Trump out of curiosity?
Yes, I don't know. Absolutely. Absolutely. My father was a very big supporter and rejected they thought it was a social liberal conspiracy that they did wear a mask or stay at home, but they just had people come together and have dinners up to 8 different households. And my uncle went to work to make sanitizer, hand sanitizer. So that is where he got exposed, and exposed really the whole lot of 6 to 8 people. We know 6 people for sure, and 2 died, my dad. And my mom still right now is saying, you know, they still have a hard time believing that it was COVID because of the media. So my mom has said, when I went to get my father's ashes, she said, well, he died from social medicine. Something happened at the Army hospital, basically. And I said, well, I don't know what your husband died of, but I know my father's death certificate and experience of COVID. So even the people in that experience are still not getting it. They've still been gaslighted, and that's devastating.
Yeah, that is amazing. That's just what I wanted to ask you, because we're still seeing this constant support. And I think that's why it's so important, people like you and so many members of NOW and other organizations, you're still fighting for the 38, not just the 38 states, but the 38 hours that you want people to donate to get people out to vote, to register to vote. In other words, this kind of a commitment. And isn't that true? I'm sure you're still doing that.
Yes, we're still getting people out to vote. Our volunteers are very active with that. We have a few Senate seats here in Florida that we would love to flip. We saw a lot of progress in the primaries. We didn't win everything we wanted, but we were really pleased with some of the primaries results. So we will definitely be committing towards all of that. But the other thing I'm really excited about what we're going to be doing is we're leading Florida on what it is to lead as an intersectional, intergenerational feminist organization. It's not easy. And we really are, we're doing a lot of work in that area, which sometimes takes place over getting the vote out.
That's why you have so many irons in the fire. But I want to go also just back a minute before we get into that with the ERA, because that is so important. And if there is a different Congress, if there's a different Senate and Mitch McConnell is no longer in charge, so he sits down on anything he doesn't want to hear, that what is the status of the ERA? And tell me, because, Senator Warren and so many others have said that they will, really press to get legislative action. But we need something, I think, much more, as RBG said, it's got to be kicked upstairs. This can't be something, like the Hyde Amendment. Every, change of administration, it's bounced back and forth. And so what is the status and what are you feeling about?
Well, the status is we will know on November 4th, hopefully, what the status is, because with the courts controlling things and the DOJ choosing to play games with our American Constitution and all of logic, then we can't tell you unless we have people get out and vote the misogynistic, racist side out, because they are doing everything they can to block the ERA. So I can't tell you about I know there's lawsuits right now, but it won't matter unless we get the judges, unless we get Trump out, I'll just be fair, because he will hold the cards. And if that's the case, then there may be talk about going back to, like you said, there's constitutional equality is now a core issue. It's not just the ERA. It is focusing on constitutional equality. So being able to focus on where else are, people not equal in our Constitution. It's a way of bringing constitutional equality into the full intersection. So we're not just focused on the 24 words, that we're focused on the bigger issue, which is, we want the ERA plus more. We want the disability community to have rights in our Constitution. We want LGBTQ, we want trans folks to have rights. So we don't want to just stop with the ERA, and we will move it forward. With this election, we'll know more about how we'll do it forward. But the intersectional feminists are uniting, and they're shifting from just the ERA to this is about constitutional equality.
Well, with this 100th anniversary, I've been doing a lot of, I love to read history anyway, and I've been reading a lot of, our foremothers. And I'm telling you, Kim, we might think that we're progressive until I've really read some of these women. And, that I got so impressed, particularly with Matilda Jackson Gage. And I was really impressed because her attitude from the start was really that women and everybody was equal under the Constitution, period. And she was really upset, that she felt that women were trying to get the states to say, please, please give us the vote. And she said, the vote is just one part of the big four, so to speak. The family, the church, the economy, all of that. And so from the get-go, she was challenging the Constitution. And she was challenging right up to the Supreme Court. And then, and this was long before the Civil War. And then after the Civil War, she really went after it again, challenging. And I thought, with the pandemic and everything that's happened, that's exposed all the problems, really, not just with the pandemic, but really the huge holes in our Constitution and our sense of government. And I think it's really become apparent to so many of us now that the Constitution was written for a small majority of white, propertied men. And everybody else has tried to get included. And, whether it's with Black Lives Matter or with the problems we're having, watching what's happening with the children down with immigration and the cages and all of that, I think it's really dawning on us that that Constitution was not inclusive, and that we have to start demanding what is there rather than saying, please, what do we need to do to get accepted? But anyway, that'll be for a little different time, and you're right, after November, we can reassess and see what's happening. But I'm also very interested in what's happening with NOW. You know, NOW has been such an important organization for women for so many years, pretty much from the get-go. And the Florida chapters, you guys are really, you're walking the walk, talking the talk. And so run this through, what's been happening and what's happening now.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate your comments and completely support what you just said, and would love to be a part of maybe a table discussion with people to discuss that very matter that you just exposed. But as far as Florida now, thank you. We are working really hard to talk the talk and walk the walk. NOW nationally changed their bylaws in 2015 to be intersectional. And
you used that term. So what do you mean by that, Kim?
But intersectional means that our core issues, all of them are related. So when we go to advocate for abortion rights, we can't do it for just abortion rights. We also need to talk about economic disparities about abortion. You know, that's why it needs to be accessible, affordable, and racial disparities with, you know, accessibility. So we have to address those issues, because the experiences I have as being a victim of rape and domestic abuse, being fired while pregnant, for being pregnant, sexually assaulted at work, all the various things that I've gone through, I've done it while being white. And acknowledging that black women have exactly the same stuff that they're going through, but they have racism, which, you know, as a white person, I am learning about the impact still every day of it, and how racism is baked in within my framework. And so breaking that down is a huge responsibility for any feminist right now, especially white feminists. So intersectionality just means that on all the different areas, so for queer communities or trans communities or non-binary communities, that it is harder to be in their shoes than it is mine. So we need to make sure that we uplift those people. The same people we saw attacked this year in Tallahassee, they were trying to roll back rights on the LGBTQ community. They were trying to roll back rights on women's rights, which they did, reproductive rights. And they were trying to also roll back rights on the transgender community and impact children. And so we needed to be the people that stood up to all of those things and say, no, you know, we stand for LGBTQ equality. We have to do more. We have to be more and involve more, which fundamentally means we lead less and we support more. So there's a lot of organizations that already have the answers to these issues, that have leaders that just don't have the platform that NOW has. So what we've done is made sure that we've developed relationships with those people and been able to empower them to lead for their particular area, and making sure that they have the full support from our grassroots organization. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and I was also thinking, you know, and I want to bring up a little later about the pandemic just as bad with violence to women right now all over the world. But I'm thinking particularly in terms with the pandemic. And, you know, that, as you were saying, so many groups, there are smaller groups that don't have the platform, say, that NOW has had, or has. And so, but I think in an odd way, I think with so many Zoom conferences and learning to communicate, so to speak, through, you know, this infrastructure that we have of the Internet, I think most of us have gotten far more facile with using this. And I'm not saying that it's a substitute, you know, for one-on-one talking, but I think in a way it's also kind of broadened all of our exposure and being able to communicate with these groups that perhaps we wouldn't have been so aware of before. I mean, and so you're doing so much work, unfortunately, with the pandemic, that you have to work with conferences like Zoom. And are you finding that, Kim, that in a way, yes, it's got negatives, but it also, I think it's kind of
brought a lot of separate islands together, and we're seeing, as you say, the intersectionality.
Right. It certainly has with now our presidents, our state presidents have strengthened, provided workshops and trainings, because we're fighting the same things. They might have a different flavor, but they're the same thing. So I haven't had to do all the work. There's been some brilliant leaders for sure outside. From California Now, that's our adopted Now sister chapter. And so we have a lot of shared resources. The other thing I think it's done is allow Black and non-binary and trans folks to actually lead, because some of us, like even, you know, myself, autoimmune situation in my family, so I don't want to go out and expose myself so much. And since there was so many of us at risk during COVID, the leadership came straight up from the grassroots. People who have not been necessarily in the game started leading the game. And it's been an honor to be able to connect and uplift them. Like right now in Tallahassee, I don't know if you know, but the police have been harassing peaceful protesters, they've arrested six people in our capital. Like, we can't even protest peacefully in our capital, and they've specifically targeted Black and trans people. And we need to uplift those kind of situations. And just talking about it here will help spread the word, because Tallahassee is our capital. It's not just a city. And if we can't protest peacefully there without having almost 300 armed people at a peaceful protest, then, you know, that's something that we should all be speaking out about, because this repression is repressing all of us. And I think there's more of us united now than ever. So Zoom, maybe COVID, it has definitely burst a new revolution of speech as such in our world. And a lot of changes have to happen before where any of us are really comfortable, I think.
And I think it's, again, we're talking to Kim Porteous, and as you can see, she's a very passionate and dynamic leader for this chapter of NOW, National Organization for Women. And I think one of the troubling things that we're really seeing, not only the exposure that our Constitution was written by and for white property men, and everybody else has tried to beg to get included, but also we're seeing our sense of protest, our sense of having a voice, in this government, in this country, that it's not just in Tallahassee, but it seems to be all over the country. And there is a kind of a lip service given to protest. But sometimes I begin to wonder when I'm watching some of the things that have been happening in Portland or Minneapolis or just about any city, that you have peaceful protesters and then you have this arms balance of people. And then so many other outsiders coming in, defending white supremacists coming in and defending it, that it would seem that also in the history of this country, and when we're looking, at our problems with policing, that when you really look at the history of policing in this country, that they have been a separate kind of arm, if you will, that have protected the more the property rights, the more the business rights, at the expense of immigrants, at the expense of you-know-who, of anybody. And once again, this is also a problem, that we can't just have the voice of the people be the vote. Now, that is very important. Don't misunderstand me. And we've got to depend on it. But I think it's also becoming apparent that we need to really look and see that what is happening that's turning, these people that are peacefully protesting very legitimate grievances, and yet it's so often being deliberately turned into an armed insurrection.
Amen. Absolutely. That is perfectly said. I've personally protested where people were armed. Even last week, 2 weeks ago in Tallahassee, they had an armed person that was from the from the opposing side, that these peaceful protesters who they're called TCAC, but they have training, and they're now leaders too, but they have training in de-escalation. So they were able to de-escalate that moment. But I think the point is, Barbara Devane has said, sometimes we have to protest to make a point. I think a lot of what's going on right now is it's really terrifying because the police seem to be trying to make a point that we're not safe. and we're not allowed to voice ourselves, and that they have the power to kill us. They have the power to get away with it, their police bill of rights, and that this is going to be the law of the land, and it's tied in with a politician that is running for a, you know, land of the law of the land politician than Donald Trump. So we have a real precipice of issues. We've got to get out to vote. But it's not, like you said, just about voting. We really have to keep an eye and stand up, especially with our Black and trans communities that are standing up so eloquently right now for the lives that they're seeing, far more dramatically lost than white cis people are. So there's a huge issue, and violence is getting worse, like you said, with COVID. You know, women's pay is getting further and further behind, a decade or maybe even a generation, they're saying. We know that women are experiencing the brunt of all of this, of the at-home experience. They're becoming the educators for their families, the healthcare providers, the suppliers. They're doing everything they were already doing, plus often working. So it's a lot harder for them, too. So we've got a lot of things to unite, get fired up about. And yeah, that's what we're really excited about with Florida Now, because we do have more task force, more leadership, more growing, because we believe that we're the fastest opportunity to create change in the state is if we can use our now grassroots to help organize and unite on these intersectional core issues, including police reform.
And again, we're talking to Kim Porteous, and as you can see, she's dynamic, the president of Florida Now. And you know, also we're seeing, and I'm thinking of so many things with the interconnections, that, you know, in a way, too often what has been happening in our sense of domination and not using diplomacy throughout the world, that we're seeing some of the things that happened in countries. And we understand the distress that it put our soldiers, you know, on the ground. What they would wonder, what were they doing here? And so we're seeing some of it on the streets, you know, of our cities. And so, and also we're thinking of 53 cents of every dollar that is spent is being spent on some aspect of military weapons or military. And if the trend continues, in 10 years, it'll be 64 cents. Per dollar. And so we're seeing this kind of craziness that we've had, really. And you know, then Trump, you know, says that, oh, I've got this great new weapon. And you think, oh, the last thing we need is to try and renew the nuclear arms race. And so we're seeing all of this. And that's why it's so important, Kim, what you and people right here in Florida Now has been doing, because you kind of have to clean up your own backyard. To have the really strong base, because to me, women have got to lead this country forward. That women have been so aware of it all across the board, and we're the ones that right now we have the abilities, and we have got to lead this country into the democracy it needs to become, not the kind of democracy that it has been. And so I'm so thrilled that so many of you here have been working hard to put your house in order, you know, so then you can do that kind of leadership and communicate with all the rest of the states in this country. And so I'm congratulating you, you know, with your fire and passion, and you have brought together others that have just as much fire and passion, and it's exciting to see.
Well, I appreciate that. It has not been an easy summer. We did call for the resignation of the previous president, who has since resigned, and there was a finding of toxic environment. The president's resignation was sent to me 6 minutes before the email of a finding of a toxic environment was shared, but she officially left for health reasons. So that has left our organization in a tough spot, because it has not declared we really have an issue that we need to address. So there's quite a few of us that are growing frustrated still with the board's response and with the National Action Center's response of not listening to the impacts of how we have been directly impacted by the toxic behavior. And so I'm grateful for our new president, Kristen Nunes, and she is coming today to a Zoom meeting, another advantage of those Zooms, to meet with us to hear the impact. So she is going to listen, hear, and we will really want them to know that we're not looking for, you know, just another opportunity to grow our reputation. We're looking to grow our grassroots and to help our grassroots lead this organization, not just be a secondary part of it.
Well, a lot of work for everybody still to be done, but it has to be done with integrity and passion. And
that's right.
And so, Kim, I'm looking at the time, and you've been very gracious. And as you said, you've got all kinds of Zoom meetings. And so we covered a lot of subjects, but is there anything particularly that we didn't mention that you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say that Florida Now also just elected our first black woman as a board member, from what I've been told in all of history, but definitely our first vice president is a black woman. Her name is Cynthia Harris. She's amazing. She's been right beside me in the past year and a half with Now, and we're really excited about our new leadership.
Well, Kim Porteous, the president of Now, Florida chapter of Now, keep me posted what you people are about, because I'm very impressed with what you're doing. And so thank you so much for all you do, you are doing, and take care, okay?
All right. Thank you so much for all you're doing, and stay safe, and reach out to your friends, because 2020 is too short not to. We really have to support each other as much as we can.
And get out and vote.
So, yeah, vote.
Thank you so much, Kim. You do take care, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you are listening to WMNF Tampa, and you just heard Kim Porteous. But in this year, well, particularly we're celebrating 100 years of getting the vote, and all the marvelous foremothers we had, Ida B. Wells, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and so many others, in order to get that vote. I'm hoping last week that you had a chance to watch some of the U.S. Open tennis. It was a wonderful, wonderful match as both men and women, and the city of New York deserved to be congratulated for putting that on. But I particularly hope you were watching some of the women's matches, because in this time of honoring our foremothers who have gone before us, we really have a living legend right now who has fought so hard that really needs to be honored right now. And I cannot think of Billie Jean King without thinking of Title IX. And Billie Jean King, think of it, in the early 70s, we got the pill, but also Title IX was passed. And then you had the infamous Bobby Riggs match. And Billie Jean King was aware that when she was playing tennis, her brother had a full scholarship to UCal Berkeley in baseball. Her very good friend and contemporary, Arthur Ashe, had a full ride scholarship in tennis at UCLA. But BJ was working two jobs and trying to keep the training up for a tennis career, and that just wasn't working. But the men were not willing to share any of the prize money. No, none for women. And so BJ and her eight of their colleagues, they formed the Women's Tennis Federation, and so they realized that they had to get the equal pay. And BJ testified before Congress. Her testimony was very important in getting Title IX passed, because BJ realized she wasn't just fighting for tennis players. She was fighting for women's opportunities in sports, period, and they needed to be able to go to college on those full ride scholarships. And so Title IX was passed, but then Bobby Riggs had been hassling women tennis players for about 2 or 3 years before, and he tried to talk to Chris and BJ, and they wanted nothing to do with it because they knew that would be a circus sideshow. But then Margaret Court succumbed and choked and lost badly. And so BJ realized she would have to play Bobby Riggs in order to establish again the credibility of Title IX, because the NCAA was fighting Title IX from the get-go. They did not also want to be forced to have all these opportunities added for women. And so the Bobby Riggs match, and what would you expect when the top women's professional tennis player in the world took on an old man who had no right being on the same court with her, and he was lucky he could still stand at the end. And so then a lot of it died down. So, but without further ado, a living legend we need to honor right now, Billie Jean King.
We were going to talk U.S. Open. We were going to talk all about COVID. But given what happened yesterday with the NBA, and given that you're someone that really has fought for equality for your entire career, what is your initial take on the developments of the last 24 hours with the NBA?
I'm thrilled. It's not just the NBA. The WNBA has joined. It's been tennis has absolutely joined. We postponed our matches yesterday. We are going to continue to use our platform at the U.S. Open for positive change, for equality and justice. Arthur Ashe was a part of that as well back in the 70s. He and I were born the same year. We've always fought for equality for everyone. Black lives do matter. And we've got to keep the pedal to the metal. We can't let up now. We need to have change. And we need to help each other, be kind and good to each other. It's just so basic. It's scary. But the protest right now is really different from the 60s. You are all too young, but in the 60s, I was in my 20s. And President Kennedy died on my birthday in 63. He got assassinated. And in the 60s, when they had protests, like with Martin Luther King Jr., you have to remember we didn't have technology like we do now. And most of the protests were all people of color. They're all black people, basically. Now, everyone's together, and that's the change. And me, as far as my age group, my hair is on fire. I'm really excited because I think this is really the moment in time that we can truly, truly change things and go forward. Because the young kids, they have it right. They don't care what your color, your religion. They just get along so much better. But I love the protests. I love what they're doing. But I hope also that it's going to change financially for people of color because they don't make as much as white people. And women also. All women do not make as much as white males. Yep. And everyone has to be able to, everyone has to make money and have a good living because then the world will prosper.
I want to move on and just talk about the U.S. Open, because that's why we were going to talk initially until some of these other things came along, more important things. But there's COVID, there's no fans, some players are not going to come. I'm still going to watch, though, and I'm still excited about it. Is that okay? Can we pull this off?
Yes, I'm very excited because it's different. And I want to know how the players are going to adapt. I'm very, very interested. Usually on the big showcase courts where they have the highest seeds, they really thrive on this audience, whereas the lesser ranked players aren't used to that. They usually do worse. But this is a totally different ballgame now. I am excited because at least they're fortunate, first of all, to have an opportunity to compete and to make a living. That's great. And then the Open has done a great job with the testing and the frequency and working with the health officials in New York. I mean, they've been spending months on this because I've kept up with it. I've talked to them. But it really gets down to personal responsibility and that they have their bubble. They have two bubbles, one for the players, one for the support team and all that. They're trying to do it right. And so the U.S. Open's been very, very adaptable. I have two sayings as a coach. Pressure is a privilege and champions adjust or adapt. And when COVID started in March and started to isolate March 17th, in New York City, Lilana, my partner, and me. And I just said, champions adapt, champions adjust. This is what this is all about. It's one ball at a time.
And you are listening to WMNF Tampa. Well, it's not only with a tennis racket and great athletic skills that you can affect change. A very important part of any social movement has been music. And we are so lucky here in the Tampa Bay region to have such a number of outstanding musicians. And so luckily Michelle Passoff is trying to figure out how she should help get people out to vote and register to vote, et cetera. And even though not a musician herself, she actually got together with some other musicians and they came out with just a terrific video, Let Your Voice Be Heard. And so then also Voice Your Vote 2020.com came out of that. And so let's hear a little bit of Let Your Voice Be Heard, that terrific video, and then Michelle Passoff.
Has come for your voice to be heard. Don't be quiet like a mouse. You gotta sing like a bird. Cast your vote. You got some options today. Grab your family and friends and let's lead the way.
Your voice heard.
Put a happy and early bird. That man may be
Well, I am so happy to welcome to the show Michelle Passoff, and she has really put together, I think, a pretty amazing group of talent here in the Tampa Bay region. And Michelle, it's a fantastic song, but it's a whole group, VoiceYourVote2020.com, and it's local talent. And so, like so many of us, Michelle, there with the pandemic hits and everything is shut down, it's still partially shut down, so you have to close your art studio and your business. So you have a choice. You can scream at the television and eat a lot of ice cream or whatever, or you can do something, right?
That's right.
And so, but apparently getting to vote, have you always been very conscious of voting and the importance of democracy, et cetera?
Well, democracy is very important to me, and I have participated in past elections by going door-to-door. This year, door-to-door wasn't an option, and it's not all that attractive anyway for me. It's the right way to express themselves for other people, but I wanted to reach more people than I could just in my neighborhood. I wanted to be far-reaching and cry out loudly that it's time to get to the polls or to mail in or to early vote, whatever you have to do to have a democracy endure, to have free and fair elections. I'm not saying which party to vote for. I'm just saying to vote and to have that vote be clean and fair. And the best, and I thought, well, I called a couple of places to see where I might participate, and then it just came into my head, why don't you produce a song, a music video that would really sing it out loud and clear for people and be a message from Tampa Bay to the rest of the country that they could get their family and friends and neighbors out to the polls. Go ahead.
But I think it's interesting because you're not really a singer-songwriter, or you haven't been that involved with music videos or videos, period, have you?
No, I am an author of a book, and before I wrote my book, I wasn't a writer. But when I feel when I feel that I have something to say worth listening to, I find the best way to express that and reach more than just the people around my small orbit, but to sing it out, in this case, sing it out loud and clear. So I started Googling songwriters and singers and musicians in Tampa Bay. And I gathered a group of people on Zoom. Most of us had never met each other. I did know the guy across the alley from me in the old Northeast, and he came on the Zoom, and we started batting around the idea of lyrics. Everybody was committed to the possibility of the project, and we batted around lyrics, and that's where we started.
And so I'm curious, also, your book was about decluttering, right?
Yes.
And in this pandemic, has there been a real interest in your book again? Because I think a lot of people have spent time trying to sort through things they don't need and do all that kind of stuff too. So is your book in demand out of curiosity?
Well, the book has been out for some time, and if it's in demand at any stores or online, I'm not aware of it. My attentions were really on producing this music video because I felt the message of voting was important. So getting back to that story, we gathered on Zoom. We collected all the lyric ideas, and one of the fellows that was on the call with us was a producer from a company called Graham Bay Studios, and his name is Knowledge, and he took everybody's lyrics and collaborated with one of his two of his folks within his company to come back to us in just a few days. It didn't take him long. I was kind of jaw-dropping to come up with a song that that was a dancehall beat with a bit of rap in Spanish and English that would encourage people to vote. So our next task was getting a video producer.
Yeah, and I think the person he brought in was she. And I was really impressed because when I was reading through some of the notes on this, this all happened really pretty fast when you consider that everything has to be done with Zoom now. And then they come back. And then the performers that obviously in the Zoom meetings that they've really bought into this, and the number of musicians you have in it, whether it's Ashley Smith or Tanya Larice, Javier Rosa, Flavio Rueda, and you also have a rapper, Trinity Daniel Sanchez. They are really good, and they really are into it. And so apparently a lot of people were really excited about this.
Well, they were. And as you pointed out, the rapper in the project was 16 years old. And the dancer, everybody goes all the way up to the dancer. One of the dancers in the music video is 75 years old. So we came from a vast age range and ethnic backgrounds and projects and interests in our personal lives that were different from each other. But the one thing we had in common is that we wanted to get out to vote. So once we, the music producer helped us get some of the performers, and the Googling helped get other performers. And Trinity, the young woman, is a daughter of somebody I know, and she got online with us on the Zoom. Everybody participated equally in all the ideas. And then Ryan Justice from Justified Films and Clint Marino from Sharp Edge Entertainment collaborated with each other, even though they have two different companies. These fellows collaborated together, and we chose locations from Ybor City to downtown Tampa to South St. Pete to the beaches. In a one-day shoot, we went around and scheduled the performers to show up and perform their segments of the song. And Ryan and Clint went back to their studios, edited all together. And I have to say that every single one of us couldn't be prouder of the results. And I hope your audience can be proud that they come from a community where this got created, because it's really, really good. And I encourage people to go to www.voiceyourvote2020.com. Have a look at it. Pass it along to your friends. And let's make this the biggest voting year ever.
I couldn't agree more. But real quickly back, because, you know, this is a pretty amazing area just scenically. And I love some of the views you have. You know, everything from the tower on the Sykes building, but also the beaches and the murals. And it really, you really do get a beautiful snapshot of this whole area. And all that was done in one day. And was it also trying to rain the whole day? Because many days we didn't rain.
Well, what would summertime be in Tampa Bay without a bit of rain at some point during the day? So we did have to run between the raindrops, but it was really amazing. It was kind of a meant to be moment where everything was flowing just even in between the raindrops. So we were able to capture, I think, Tampa Bay in a way that didn't make it a travel log and didn't identify it so much with the city that people in other cities couldn't identify to the song. But yet, at the same time, it really captures, to those of us who know it, it captures Tampa Bay. You do have the beaches. You have some great murals of musicians that serve as a canvas behind the singers. You have the downtown area in Ybor City. So, yes, it's not a travelogue, but it does capture the great artistic community that we live in.
Yeah, I had very catchy lyrics. Vote Ahead by Early Bird by Mail may be preferred, or at the polls on November 3rd. Either way, make your voice be heard. And then on your website, you go through really easily how to register to vote. And Knowledge himself actually has never voted before, and so he realized that he was kind of, I guess, afraid, or just thought it'd be so complicated to register. And so he realized, wow, this is really simple. So I guess for the first time, he's going to vote also this year. And so you're accomplishing what you set out to do in just a most delightful way.
Yeah, that was one down, right? he explained that in the past, this is our music producer, Knowledge, had explained that he was always fearful of voting. He traveled a lot. He didn't have the driver's license of the cities in which he was in on the election day. And he didn't know what to do, and he was confused. And so he just couldn't be bothered. But this project really elevated his awareness of the importance of voting. And he said, well, okay, when we were all done with the project, he said, okay, so how do I vote? And one of the great things is that the musicians and performers and producers in this project weren't the only ones involved. We had a web designer who did a great website, and it includes, you can read on the website, voiceyourvote2020.com, you can read all of their bios. You can go to an area where it says voting, and you can see in Hillsborough County and Pinellas County what you need to do and when you need to do it. If you don't live, you're staying here, but you need to do voting in another state, there's a whole 50-state websites that you can click on and go there and do what you need to do to register. And you can read about the project. There's a news section where you can read about how we've been in the news over the course of the couple of weeks. So go to the website, and if you want to make a donation, you can even do that, because even though this was an all-volunteer project and we didn't spend but a bit of money, that somebody gave us their stimulus check. When he heard about the project, he said, here, take my stimulus check. And the incidental expenses that we had were covered by that, but we still need to promote the video. So anybody can go to the website and hit the donate button and send in a small or big amount so we can help buy ads for promoting it.
Well, Michelle Passoff, voiceyourvote2020.com, and the song is Let Your Voice Be Heard. Terrific job. Just a wonderful video and so upbeat, and I think that I hope it's getting a lot of hits. And so I know you guys are really busy, so thank you so much for giving us this time today. And just keep at it, girl. You've really got it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And you have been listening to WMNF Tampa. This is From a Woman's Point of View. You've heard Mary Glennie talking with Kim Porteous, president of Florida Now, and also with Michelle Passoff, the Voice Your Vote 2020. And so we hope that you will remember the importance of voting. We're so glad you've been with us today. I am Arlene Engelhardt, and we hope you'll join us again next week for another edition of From a Woman's Point of View.
Voice can be a lonely sound, a cry in the distance, a whimper of doubt, yeah. But raise it up and we can gather a crowd where we all speak up together. They can't hold us down, hear eruptions. What a time being an early bird, right now maybe prefer. Rock and roll on November 3rd.
Facts.
Oh, yeah. What I have in